we spend too much time trying to convert people that have already said no. Have you noticed that? Sometimes it's our relatives. That we talk to our daughter or our son or our grandson, and we tried to get them to obey the gospel, and they've given you a clear sign, I'm not interested in that thing. And you go like, why don't you come? We waste our time when we ought to be washing our hands and shaking the dust off our feet and saying, if you say no, let's turn and find somebody who is interested in the gospel. And that doesn't mean we give up hope. As long as there's life, there might be changes that happen. It might be a dread disease that strikes somebody that causes them to realize, I'm going to be in the presence of God. And suddenly they are a little more interested. And certainly we preach the gospel of the grace of God to them and try to lead them to the salvation. But Jesus says there are some people that the gospel's not going to reach. He couldn't reach them in his day. And how dare I think I'm going to be reaching them in my day? But for those who are of the nature that he described, the invitation is extended. It's not extended to those who have closed their eyes and the ears, lest they would see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn and be converted and have their sins washed away. As long as they have that attitude, they cannot be saved. The wise Jews saw the same things that the multitudes did, and they plotted his death. They charged him with being in collusion and with the devil, and they rejected the gospel that he had to preach. And so what we have to do, we have to turn to those that are listening, and who might they be? How to identify one that is like that? Jesus said it, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Who is it that is a good prospect for the gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, there's those that are laboring under the burden of their sins. Sometimes you'll find good-hearted people that are trying their best to make it to heaven. But they're working under a system of works righteousness. And what I mean by that is they think, I'm going to go through my life, and when I come down to the end of my life, if my good deeds have just barely outweighed my bad deeds, that ain't right. You know, I'm trying to balance the scale, to do more good than to do more evil. And the problem these people have is they don't know what one sin weighs. What would you say a sin weighs on this scale? Adam and Eve were placed in the Garden of Eden, and God said, of the fruit of every tree you may eat, but of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat thereof, for in the day that you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now you look at the sin that is there. Did they commit murder? No, they didn't steal from anybody, did they? They didn't commit adultery. You know, all these grievous sins that we can think of, they ate a fruit. We don't know what fruit it was, except for what the Scripture says is the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And all I can visualize in that is some physical fruit that I think of, but that wasn't what it was. But what made it wrong was God said not to. And the weight of disobeying one commandment of God brought spiritual damnation. So who is it that is laboring under the burden of sin? The fellow that's committed one sin is in the same boat as Adam was. That's me. How many of us are so perfect here, we can say, I've never committed a sin.
We all know we've committed sin and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of that sin is death. And so, if we're going to be saved, we're going to be saved by the grace of God. We sometimes find ourselves laboring under the things that men try to lay upon us as the religious traditions of our day. The Catholics used to have some of the traditions laid on them that you could not eat meat on Friday. And so if you went to a cafeteria, you probably were going to have fish on Friday. And whenever they had the Mass, it had to be spoken in Latin, even though nobody could understand Latin in America at that time. We labored under those kind of burdens that these religious traditions put upon man. And then there was the burden of sin that was there because of the transgressions that we felt for what we'd done. David spoke about that with reference to himself in the 38th Psalm of the Old Testament. And as he describes how he felt under the burden of sin, here are his words. Chapter 38 and verse 4. For mine iniquities are gone over my head as a heavy burden. They're too heavy for me, that is, to carry or to bear. I just can't hardly bear this load anymore. Paul felt that. I sat there and cast my vote against Christians. I held the garments of those who put Stephen to death, and I cast my vote against him. And I am the chiefest of sinners. Long after he became a Christian, he's